Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Can we be there?
We are here.
Oh, just think of the time.
No, you don't have to do that. It's right here, right now. I think we got to hit the brakes on this Josh Rosen thing that we've been talking about a week.
Slam on the brakes or just kind of let's slow our roll a little bit?
You know, I use Progressive Insurance right now for my car. They had me plug in.
No Geico?
There, no.
You ought to go Allstate. Eddie Pacheco.
I had
it's a lot better.
We can talk business if he wants to talk business. I'll switch.
But got a great bundle package.
Right now, I use Progressive. And
you're losing money, man. You're throwing away money. What are you doing?
Well, they tried to save me money. They gave me what's called their snapshot. You might have heard that talking head flow, talking about Progressive Snapshot.
Oh.
Right?
You fell for that?
You plug it in your diagnostic.
Is that true? You really plug something in?
Yeah. And I'm a very safe driver, so I felt very comfortable. I don't speed. I don't put myself in bad situations. My son's in the car half the time these days.
Even when he's not, you drive me nuts when you drive.
I just inch along.
Yes.
I was in a very bad car accident before.
Makes sense. All right.
I was younger. They chopped me right out. They call them the jaws of life. They couldn't get me out of the car.
Now you're making me feel bad.
I'm just telling you.
Fun of your driving.
Well, there's a reason why
now
I drive the way
me a
I do.
Sob story.
Super duper bad.
It was bad. Thank you, Dana.
Oh, not good.
So I plugged this snapshot in my car, and it literally will beep at you. It reads how you're driving. Fast acceleration. It'll go boop, boop, beep, beep. Just like let you know. Like, this is counts against you. If you slam on the brakes.
That is awful.
I swear.
Come on over to Allstate. We don't have that stuff, man.
I swear.
Come
if
on.
You slam on the brake, beep, 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 beep. Don't do that.
What?
If you're driving like I do, I don't hear anything. So it lowered my insurance. Right? It lowered my insurance by like $10 a month or something like that. Right? I had to do it for 6 months. So I say pump the brakes on Josh Rosen.
Uh-huh.
I think it's two beeps. Because I think that the information that's being disseminated now from Adam Schefter, through Adam Schefter as a vessel. Well, I'll read you the report. You tell me what you think about it. Because for the past week, we've been under the assumption Kyler Murray's going number one. You're not keeping Josh Rosen. There's a third round value, maybe a second round value, maybe a first round value. Who knows? But as we were signing off the air yesterday, Adam Schefter tweeted, quote, multiple teams inquired about Josh Rosen's availability at the combine last week. Though Arizona did not give those teams any indication that it is willing to move on from Josh Rosen at this time, according to two league sources who spoke to the Cardinals. This doesn't mean that Arizona won't wind up shopping Rosen eventually, but it hasn't to date, and the Cardinals have not responded to the overtures that they've received from any other teams while they're going through the draft evaluation process, end quote. They're basically telling you, we never said anything. Teams have come to us, we've said no, and that's all there is to this story. Do you believe them?
Not really. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. And when I look at this situation, I think they are going to take Kyler Murray. And I think they will trade Josh Rosen. So the one thing that I don't believe and I think is not accurate is the third round compensation for Josh Rosen. I think it's going to be much higher than that. But I do think eventually they're all in with Cliff Kingsbury. This general manager is.
Steve Keim.
It's got to work out for him. Is Josh Rosen a great fit in that style of an offense? Probably not. He's not a very mobile guy. He's a guy that is more of your traditional pocket passer. And you look at a guy like Kyler Murray, it's like, okay, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you're looking at it like, I can win with that guy. And I think ultimately that's what it will come down to, and it will come down to they hired this college coach. They want to give him the best quarterback to be successful. Who's the best quarterback for him to be successful right now? It's Kyler Murray. So when you go back to that and you start thinking of it in those terms, it just says it's got to be Kyler Murray.
I think this report from Schefter yesterday is spin from the Cardinals and a little bit of damage control. Because the Cardinals don't look great here. They don't look great. They just went all in, moved up for a first-round quarterback a year ago. But you're telling me this story broke this past week because teams simply inquired about Josh Rosen and they were like, no, we just drafted him last year. Like, but this conversation's over right now. We just took him number 10 overall. That's why the story came out? No, I don't believe that. Whether they're going up and saying, hey, who wants Rosen? I don't think that's the case, but I think they're listening. And I think sure. If you're listening with a quarterback, that means as much as shopping him in the first place when it comes to a quarterback.
Have they come out and said, are y'all crazy? Josh Rosen's our guy. We just drafted him in the first round last year. This is crazy talk. What are y'all doing?
Have not heard that.
And if that's who your franchise quarterback is going to be, that's what you're going to do.
Right.
You're going to have his back and show him support. Cliff Kingsbury's going to come out. No. What are y'all doing? My guy is Josh Rosen. I can't wait to work with him.
Instead, what they've said, he's our guy for right now.
Right, for now. Like, oh.
So if it was nothing, even if it was just a baby ember, when you talk like that, you throw gas on it.
You do. And they know what they're doing. And you can say that it's all posturing, that they might be trying to trade this pick. They want teams to think that they might take Kyler Murray or whatever. But when I look at a franchise quarterback, you don't want to put this guy through that. If that's who you think he's going to be, Josh Rosen, you know, if he's your guy, you don't go through this posturing stuff. You just come out and say it.
Right.
That is our franchise quarterback, and they haven't done that. And then you throw on top of it this Cliff Kingsbury as their new coach and what kind of system he's going to run, who's the better fit for him. It's Kyler Murray. To me, it's just everything is lining up perfectly for that to happen.
Writing's on the wall.
If it doesn't happen, then it's just like, wow, that's a lot of strange things going on there in Arizona.
No kidding. And then you add in the removal of some of the social media with Josh Rosen. Like, people are coming at Josh Rosen for, I don't know if you saw this last week. Steven, you see this? That pictures were removed from Rosen's account, right? Or from his Instagram. And he said that he didn't take them down. Now, I don't care which side of the story is true. I don't care if Josh Rosen removed the pictures of the Cardinals from his Instagram and he's lying, or if the Cardinals have access to his social media or someone from the PR department and they removed them. Either which way, it seems as if this has...
Well, they're not going to remove them. Arizona wouldn't do that.
Well, that's what Josh Rosen basically said.
Really?
He said, I didn't
see this story.
He tweeted it out. Now, maybe it didn't have anything to do with the Cardinals. Maybe someone hacked his account and remove the Cardinal pictures. That'd be the most bizarre hack ever.
I mean, they could get in serious, serious trouble, that organization.
Sure.
For doing something like that.
Sure.
Taking over one of their players' accounts and changing things in it? That is serious business there. You can't do that. I wouldn't think that would happen at all. Now, maybe somebody else hacked him, or he just was pissed off and just decided to do it and then regretted it a little bit later. Yeah. Like, I probably shouldn't have done that. Something like that. But I don't see any way possible that somebody from the Cardinals organization would do that.
Well, it seems like it's crossed the point of no return. That's what it feels like. Like, if this Kyler Murray thing didn't happen and you return to this situation, I feel like everyone's looking around at each other with the most awkward vibe in the room.
Yes. He seems like he's a little sensitive, too.
Yeah.
And he might not be able to get over something like this.
Interesting story.
So if he's your guy and you're not taking Kyler Murray, you just come right out and just say it.
Right.
Because he's your quarterback.
Right.
You want to empower this guy as much as possible. He's still a young guy. Didn't have a great year last year. But they're not doing it. That tells you all you need to know.
Now that it's clear Darian Stewart will no longer be a Bronco, how many bones are left from Super Bowl 50? And which of those bones have the most marrow left? I got a list of names. We'll go through them. Yeah, marrow. We'll go through them next. Now that Darian Stewart is no longer a Bronco,
your hands clap.
How many bones are left? Super Bowl 50. You know, I saw these guys at Fiddler's Green.
Who is this?
2 years ago. It's, they were there with, is it Fits in the Tantrums? Yeah, Fits in the Tantrums. They were there. They were the opening act for a bigger band that I'm currently forgetting too. It was a riot. It was awesome.
I bet it was. It was really awesome. Memorable for you.
It's the last concert me and my wife went to before she got knocked up and had a kid.
Oh, what's wrong with her?
We'll be back. Now that it's clear, Darian Stewart.
Who the gangster?
Not me anymore. Nope. Is no longer a Bronco. How many bones are left from Super Bowl 50? And which of those bones have the most marrow left? How many guys are left here? These are the guys that I can think of.
I mean, it doesn't seem like a whole lot, man. I mean, that's the NFL, though.
Sure.
I mean, that's everywhere.
Sure. I'm not saying this is an indictment.
No, I know. But before you know it, you know, 3 years later, it's like, hardly anybody's left.
Von Miller's left.
Yep.
Derek Wolfe. Chris Harris Jr. Brandon McManus. Emmanuel. Todd Davis. And then from there, you get into guys that may not be back and most likely will not be back. Am I missing someone that's definitely going to be back? Because you talk about names like Matt Paradis. He's, right now, my gut tells me he's not going to be back. Could be back, but he's an iffy one. Roby's not going to be back, probably. Brandon Marshall's probably not going to be back. Shane Ray's probably not going to be back. By the way, you see Shane Ray's tattoo?
Yeah, saw that ink.
10 hours, 10 G's. $10,000 tattoo, leg sleeve. Warrior leg sleeve.
I mean, if it's 10 hours, you're going to pay. And if you wanted to, I mean, if you're getting your whole leg done, I mean, all right, 10 grand. I mean, you pay for what you get. So you...
It looks really nice for what he's looking for.
Right, it does. I mean, it's well done, so... It's worth the money. I mean, you don't want to skimp on that, do you?
No, you don't.
A full leg tattoo?
No, it's an investment that's going to be on. Like you're a human billboard at that point.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steven. Crack your mic and say that.
Too bad he doesn't spend that much time being better at football.
Wow.
Meanie.
Wow.
You know what, Shane Ray? That was mean. With Shane Ray,
I don't think that's true.
I don't think it's true.
I don't think it's true. It's
injuries got in his way, and
I think he was worked his tail off. I just think he's been unfortunate and unlucky. It's been unfortunate for him to have that injury after it looked like it was gonna. You know, he was on the right path to being like a great pass rusher, and he was on that trajectory, and then he had the wrist injury and. You know, the last couple of years, he hasn't been able to get back to form and really recover from that. So I think it has more to do with that. But I've always had the feeling that Shane Ray's a grinder.
Well, he had the first year where it was like a 4-sack season. Then second year, popped, like doubled to 8 sacks, right?
Yeah, like 8, 8.5.
And then the third year is when it was the first day of training camp, the wrist injury.
Yes.
Man, that
somebody will take a flyer on him this year. You know, that these are the guys you hope you sign them for the 1 year. $3-4 million deal, and you hope that he comes in and shows and stays healthy, and then maybe he builds off of that 8.5. You keep your fingers crossed. You know, the Broncos will be looking for a few guys like that.
I've wondered if the best place for him is just to stay here.
I would say no.
No?
No, fresh start. You need a clean slate.
But sometimes. The fresh start came to him with the new coaching staff.
No, I hear you. And that's real. But... You know, sometimes change of scenery is the best thing. Like, get out of town, go to another football team, and sometimes that's the best thing for you.
Well, he said, he goes, my next stop, I'm going to be starting.
He wants to be.
But yep. But Shane Ray is not going to be any organization's plan to be a starting pass rusher.
But that doesn't mean anything.
Sure. I mean, go earn it all over again.
Exactly.
Sure.
You know, if you go out there and at least you have a chance to compete for that job, which he wouldn't here. At least if you have a chance to compete for it, if you're healthy and playing well, then you can get it. What team comes to mind right off the bat?
Kansas City?
Yeah. They just cut Justin Houston.
Yeah.
D4, you know, what's going on with
him?
Are they going to trade him? You know, that makes a lot of sense for a team like that.
Yeah.
A good football team that doesn't have a ton of cap room, and they're looking for a guy like Shane Ray that they don't have to invest a whole lot in, and the upside is huge.
And he's got the Kansas City tattoo already.
That's right.
Just needs to get touched up.
Yep.
Just needs to get touched up.
Just touch it up.
I feel bad for Shane Ray. And let me say this, and we're getting sidetracked from the conversation I want to have. That first day of training camp, the non-padded practice, where Shane Ray's, if you remember, I think it was his thumb, got caught in someone else's jersey. It got caught in a jersey. And it just ripped, and the wrist injury was what it was. The first surgery didn't go right. Second surgery wasn't perfect. Had to get it done a third time. But that injury, that first day of training camp, 2017, altered the course of Broncos history. And I know some folks will say that I'm overstating it, and that's fine. I don't think I am. He was their first-round pick. He was supposed to be Von Miller's partner in crime. He popped. He showed you through 2 years what you would expect, what you would want from a first-rounder. I'm on the scene. I don't need some DeMarcus Walker, you know, curve here. I'm ready. I'm here to play. Boom, 4 sacks. Second year, boom, 8 sacks. I'm ready. I could be the guy. It goes down. It doesn't work out. Surgery after surgery. And then you're in a position where Bradley Chubb is staring at you at number 5. If Shane Ray follows that next season up with a 12-sack season like you were hoping, if you remember in preseason, you go look out for Shane Ray.
Yeah.
Double-digit guy. If that comes to fruition, do you draft Bradley Chubb? I don't think you do.
No. Nope. You probably don't. You draft Quentin Nelson is what you do.
Mm.
Or you move back and get more picks and get a quarterback. But you probably draft Quentin Nelson. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a bummer for him that the injuries happened, but that's part of the NFL.
Yeah.
That's just the way it goes.
So that's the list. Von Miller, Derek Wolfe, Chris Harris Jr., Brandon McManus, Emmanuel Sanders, Todd Davis. If I'm leaving anyone out, please jump in. I think I got him, though. Jana wasn't on that team yet. Justin Simmons wasn't on that team yet.
We got a Casey Kreider. Was he there?
He might have been.
I don't know.
He might. He's
a long snapper.
I don't know. He's a Pro Bowler.
Long snappers don't count.
Yeah, you screw up the long snap, and you see how much it counts. Need a guy to do it, Stoke. Don't minimize
the position. Of course you do, Zach. I didn't say you didn't need a guy to do it.
They're football players, too.
That's debatable. It's debatable.
All right.
How about them Nuggets?
How about them Nuggets?
Huh? Gary Harris took over the fourth.
My goodness. Without him, they lose. And, I mean, the fact that it was a game, they were up like 23. Lakers storm all the way back. The Nuggets just kept on throwing the basketball at the hoop from 30 feet away. Like the most ill-advised three-pointers.
See, Rondo's
just
like alley-hoop to nobody right before the first, and then Plumlee grabs and almost makes this floater three-pointer off one leg. I mean, what was Rondo do? I mean, the Lakers were a complete mess, and then they get back in the game, like you said, and I mean, LeBron, like, he's just letting the ball roll all the way down the court.
Yeah, how about that?
Like, at some point, dude, you got to pick it up.
Yeah.
He just thought, like, well, nobody's going to challenge me. Nobody's going to go for it. I mean, how embarrassing was that play?
It was bad. The Lakers are embarrassing right now. I mean, you got a player who ends up sitting to the right of 2 Chainz.
That's who that was?
Yeah.
I didn't know who that was.
2 Chainz.
I see.
He said, LeBron, here's 1 Chainz. Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
He gave him one of his Chainz after the game.
No way.
I swear to God.
What, I saw them talking.
Yeah, he took off his chain. He took off his chain, put it in LeBron's hand.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they could take the L on the way out.
But take that L on the way out.
There it is.
But I'll say this: if you are happy, if you watch that game and you stayed in there for 4 quarters and you're content with the way that thing went down, Lakers are they look like a Mountain West team right now. And if you're happy with the way that went down, we got to readjust our evaluation of this team, because that turned into something. They couldn't fight the momentum, and we'll talk a little bit about this later, but that sort of avalanche of momentum that the Lakers got, that happens in the playoffs. And if you can't put a tourniquet on that bleeding, They're gonna be.
I want to talk about this more. I do want to dive into it a little bit more. Steven over there, he's about to have a heart attack, and he's like sold all his stock. We'll talk about it later. Shout out to our guy Ben and Parker rocking with us. RamosLaw.com text. Appreciate you, buddy.
What's up, Ben? All right, I am feeling. We'll put that on the back burner for a second. We're going to return to that because I have a lot of thoughts, and so do you about last night. But I'm feeling a little bit more optimistic. You hear like a pep in my step today?
I do.
I'm feeling a little bit more optimistic about Joe Flacco, and it's because of one single guy. And I'll tell you who said what next. So I'm driving in the car this morning listening to Schlereth and Evans. Those guys were a riot per usual. And they had on an unusual guest. It's Eric Weddle.
Interesting.
I'm like, wait, what? I mean, this isn't typical, right?
No. Usually, you know, he just got released and he's a free agent. And usually those guys kind of hunker down.
They're not doing interviews during their free agent period.
Right. When I heard he was on, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I mean, that's cool. I guess, you know, for him, he's going to say all the right things. He's not going to get himself in trouble. It is whatever. This guy's played a long time. He's played at a high level. I'm sure there's only a handful of teams he'll want to play for. I know after the season, he had said, you know, if the Ravens do release me, I'm retiring. That's what he said after the season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was talked about. He said, I'm not playing anywhere else but Baltimore. So it's not like he's got to continue to play. So there will only be a select few if he wants to play. And I saw his response to when the Ravens did release him. He said, you know, he still wants to play, it sounded like.
Okay.
So I'm sure there's just only a handful of teams.
Well, Eric Weddle, in my opinion, still very much has something in the tank. I mean, the dude started 16 games this past year for that defense. In fact, he starts 16 games most years. But it's unusual to have a free agent safety out there doing interviews. And what I thought was just as unusual is they were asking him the first question. They're like, hey, you're a free agent. You know, sort of what are you looking at? I forget exactly how they framed the question. Like, what are you looking at? What are you looking for in free agency? And he was talking about, you know, the right fit for a team and the defense and, you know, whatever. But on his list of bullet points, he just sort of casually threw in there. He goes, And who that team's quarterback is. And I said, huh, I'm not used to guys on the other side of the ball referencing a more desirable landing spot, whether they have the right quarterback or not. Do you agree with that?
That's part of it. No, I mean, that's real. I mean, you look at DeMarcus Ware. Why do you think DeMarcus Ware came here?
Elway.
It was Peyton. So you look at these guys that are in the tail ends of their career, and certainly that's a big factor for them. Who's the quarterback? Do we have a chance to win, right? Do we have a chance to win / who's the quarterback? Those are together. Because obviously if you don't have a quarterback, your chances of winning the Super Bowl are slim.
I'm just not used to hearing a defensive player say it out loud the way that he did.
Sure.
And when I hear that, I say, okay, who's our quarterback? It's Joe Flacco. And they asked them, they said, hey, what are your thoughts about Joe Flacco? And this is what the free agent safety, Eric Weddle, said.
Well, shoot, I mean, the reason I signed with Baltimore 3 years ago, you know, one of many reasons was because of Joe and how he plays in big games, how he plays in the playoffs. He turns into one of the best ever, you know, his stats back it up, in the playoffs and finds ways to win games. So, and when I got here, everything that I thought of him were true. I mean, he's competitive. He cares. His personality isn't a, you know, rah-rah type guy. He's an even keel. He's very focused. And the guys love him. I mean, he'll be a great addition for the Broncos. And the guy's a true pro. He's a great teammate. And he's still got a bunch of years left. I mean, being in Mile High with that arm and a system that fits Joe, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes on a run and you guys win a bunch of games for sure.
That is just about as glowing of an endorsement as you can get another guy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, anytime I hear something like that, you got to understand they were teammates.
Sure.
They're buddies.
You say the right things.
You're going to say the right things.
But for him to say before we were teammates, One of the reasons that I came to Baltimore is because I know he plays big in big games.
Yep.
Just like he's thinking about it now, that's how he was thinking about it after his days with the Chargers in 2015.
Sure. And he said it, I think, and also the chance of playing that style of a defense in Baltimore is probably why he went there. We'll see. You know, we'll see. I'm expecting Joe to come in here and play good football. But a lot of things have to improve also here. And so that's kind of what I expect to hear from Eric Weddle.
Those, is that the company line? Or did he take it a little bit further with an endorsement?
I mean, he took it further. Yeah, I mean, he could have just kind of gave the normal spill, but he went further than he had to, for sure.
What do you think about Eric Weddle here?
How old is he? Do we know?
He's 34. Let me say this.
That's a Band-Aid. That's the definition of a Band-Aid to me. 34. When's he turning 35?
He's not turning 35, I don't believe, till after he just turned 34 in January.
Okay. I think it comes down to this, and I don't mind putting Band-Aids on the team. You're gonna have to put some Band-Aids on it. Okay, that's just the facts. How much is that Band-Aid gonna cost? That is what it comes down to for me. The guy can still play. Still a really good football player. But I'm not looking to make a huge commitment to him. If the price is right, certainly, yeah. But you're not going to make a commitment to him to where you're going to be kicking yourself after the year. And you're going to have to release him and take a big cap hit. Or dead money all over the place. That's not the plan. That's the definition of a Band-Aid. But if the price is right, certainly, yeah, Eric Weddle's a good football player. Like you said, he's healthy, he's durable, and he is a veteran player that is crafty and can get the job done.
And I think he'd be good for the culture.
1,000%.
I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, he goes to the Pro Bowl, and this is just like in 2016 or 17. I forget. Wasn't this past year. It might have been the year before. He goes to the Pro Bowl, and they pull the players that are there, and he's named the AFC captain. Like, he is as highly regarded out there in the community as anyone else. And I think about the durability. We haven't seen this dude slow down in terms of his availability. 16 games this past year. 16 games the previous year. 16, 13, 16, 16, 16, 16, 13, 16, 16.
Wow.
I mean, that is unbelievable to be in that collision-centric position to not miss any football. Tell him 3 missed games in the last 8 years.
Unbelievable.
That's insane.
Yeah, playing that position. That's impressive. But certainly a guy that you would like to have guys like him on your football team. Good leaders, good guys that guys like to play with, and you know, that leadership void that's missing around here, certainly he could fill that. But how much is it going to cost you?
Yeah.
That's what it really boils down to.
He was asked about C.J. Mosley. This was his response.
Any team that could land this guy instantly make their defense one of the best in the league. The greatest compliment I can give about C.J. is he's selfless, he has no ego, and he makes everyone around him better. And in a nutshell, I could go on and on about him for 20 minutes, but the minute I got here, we instantly clicked. He's a guy that you can literally say something 1 second before the play is snapped, and he understands it, diagnoses it, and does what you think is going to happen. And not only that, he can alert to other guys. He changes the calls. He is the best linebacker I've ever played with.
Wow.
Now that's an endorsement.
Yeah. That wasn't just like, that's my buddy.
Right.
You know, that was kind of backs up everything that most people feel about him.
Yeah.
But then some, right? You don't know all those other little things and about him. Just selfless guy and all about the team and just how he plays a game of football. That stuff for me is like, okay, yes, let's get him. I mean, that's what you don't really know from the outside. You know he's a good football player, but what kind of guy is he in the locker room?
Right.
You know, is he a smart football player or is he just, you know, just a good football player?
Right.
But he's everything. He's a total package. And so certainly Eric Weddle wouldn't give that kind of glowing endorsement if that's not who he was. He'd just give the company line. He's a good football player. He's played at a high level. He wouldn't say all those other things. Right?
For sure not. And he's saying, if a guy like Eric Weddle is saying, me and him clicked immediately, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
But you know who knows Eric, or you know who knows C.J. Mosley better than anyone else? It's the Baltimore Ravens. My gut tells me he's going to be in a Ravens uniform for quite some time. That they're not going to let anybody else take him away. Could be wrong. Been wrong a million times about this sort of stuff. Maybe he gets an offer he can't refuse.
But they should have just put the franchise tag on him then.
Why didn't they?
That's a great question. I just think probably my best guess would be their cap situation. They didn't want to get in a situation to where they franchise him this year. And it's a big number, 15, 16, 17 million, something like that. And then next year, what are they going to do? What are they going to do next year? They're going to be in the same situation. Now the number is going to be higher. He's going to want more money.
Right.
And so eventually it's a spot where it's a situation that's not good for a football team. And so I think they're going to go all in to try to sign him and get a long-term deal done and put their best foot forward. But if they can't get it done, they can't get it done. So it's going to be interesting, though, because, you know, once he hits free agency, the bidding will begin, and he is one of the most attractive free agents out there. So somebody will overpay for him. I don't know if the Ravens will be able to get into a bidding war with these other teams. But it's interesting. You know, why didn't they just put a franchise tag on him? I think they have other business that they need to get accomplished also.
Sure.
And then tying up that $16, $17 million for 1 year just didn't make sense for them.
Well, like Eric Weddle said, wherever C.J. Mosley ends up, it's going to upgrade your defense and make it one of the best in the league. He's got that kind of impact. We won't have to wait long to find out as free agency is kicking off this coming week. I got to bring this to your attention. Facebook.
You
don't have a Facebook, right?
No. You do, though. You're on it a lot, right?
No.
What? You used to be. What happened?
Yeah. Like a 17-year-old from Baghdad, Iraq, hacked my Facebook account and is still actively posting on it for like the last like year now. So, no.
Facebook hadn't helped you out at all?
They had not. Gave my government-issued ID. I just don't want anything to do with them.
Nothing, huh?
No.
Do we have any Facebook listeners? I mean, does anybody work for Facebook around here? I mean, where's Facebook located out of?
Funny you ask. They are located out of the state of California in like Silicon Valley. And their address, no joke, is one hacker way.
Wow.
So I went to go reach out to them. I went to go reach out to them when this all went down. Stonewall. You can't talk to anyone at Facebook. You get caught in a cycle of enter this. Submit this information. And
maybe things have changed ever since they
did have a big data breach.
Yes, got put in their place a little bit. All right, what do you got?
Maybe so.
Okay.
Well, you know who does have a Facebook?
Who?
It's John Elway.
Does he really?
And it's a verified account. John is on Facebook. Okay. I'm gonna read you his post from today. Feeling great about the new coaching staff and the Flacco signing. Free agency is around the corner, taking steps toward a great 2019 season.
Whoa, that's a no-no. That's a no-no, John.
Did you guys catch it? Let me read it again. Feeling great about the new coaching staff and the Flacco signing. Free agency is around the corner, taking steps toward a great 2019 season.
I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
What do you do there, Stoke?
The Flacco signing. Not supposed to talk about the Flacco, Joe Flacco.
Can't do it.
Flacco signing.
You can't do it.
That's just like, you remember at the combine, I said, you know, we're talking about it, like, and you're like, well, he can't talk about it. I was like, well, that didn't stop him from talking about Colin Kaepernick when he wasn't supposed to.
And that was a court order.
Yeah, the deposition. There was a gag order, and he still talked about it. And he didn't do it at the combine, though, but the social media account?
Sure does. It's your verified account. And I don't care if John wrote it or not. Maybe he has someone operate his Facebook account. I guess that's plausible. But it's feeling great about the new coaching staff. Dot, dot, dot. It's not in the, like, it's dot, dot, dot. And the Flacco signing, period. Flacco hasn't signed yet.
Well, it hasn't become official.
It hasn't become official.
So, not supposed to talk about it? That's interesting. I wonder, you know, if he'll take that down or...
It may already be down. Maybe we can check on that. But yeah, you don't want to get in trouble with stuff like that. I mean, there's clear rules in place.
Yeah, they wouldn't stop it from happening, but they, you know, they could take 2 days away from your off-season program. They could do things like that. Like, dude, you know you're not supposed to talk about it.
Right.
And social media is talking about it.
That's right. The post is still up.
Wonder how long. All right. Will it be down before the end of our show?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm talking about down before the end of the hour.
Oh, 13 minutes?
13 minutes.
It's going to be down.
13 minutes.
Wow.
13 minutes, that post will no longer be up. He's breaking league rules, and it's on his verified account. Can't do it. It'll be down in 13 minutes. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah,
but you would hate for something silly like this. And you know what? This is a cautionary thing to anyone out there. Don't let silly social media stuff get in the way of your life. He's breaking a rule here. Can't do it. Can't do it. I'm just saying.
Right.
And sometimes you learn hard lessons. I've been there. You know, younger years, tweet something out.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It happens.
But you look at this situation. Okay, what could it cost the Broncos? What could they do to the Broncos?
The fine.
Fine them. Take some days away from practice.
Could you imagine how pissed off Vic Fangio would be?
Oh, my gosh.
If they say, you get 2 days of OTAs.
John!
You talk about death by inches. Right. Social media posts talking about the Flacco signing before it happens.
Well, you know you're not supposed to talk about it.
You can't do it. It's a league rule. If they took two practices, like two days of OTAs away, even a day, Vic Fangio would be like, are you serious? We're trying to put this stuff in place. Every day
is
important.
You think John does it, or do you think he has somebody do it for him?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
But even if he had somebody do it for him, it would have to go through him first. Because I'm sure he doesn't post a lot on there. So,
probably not.
Like, hey, before you post anything on my, you know, Facebook, make sure you run it by me first.
Well, that'd be the responsible thing.
Yes.
I just don't know if maybe he trusts the other person very much, and I don't know. And I really don't care. If you're empowering someone to do that without running it by you, that is a flawed delegation. You know, if you're delegating that to someone, that person better know what's up. Better know what's up.
I wonder, you can't talk about it.
So you're breaking a league rule, dude.
Of course. You're absolutely right. Thanks for riding them out, Zach. On the RamosLaw.com text line.
Your Facebook post is a billboard to your followers.
Read it again.
You've got a million followers.
Read it again. RamosLaw.com texter wants to hear it again.
Feeling great about the new coaching staff, dot, 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 and the Flacco signing, period. Free agency is around the corner, taking steps toward a great 2019 season. Big deal? No, but it could cost you something, and I just think it's sort of silly. You know, you just can't do it, that's all.
Yeah, no, you can't talk about it, you can't discuss it. Is that talking about it and discussing it? I'm trying to just figure, you know, like what the written rule is. Like, hey, you know, what if somebody asks him about Flacco and he just says we can't talk about the Flacco signing, or we can't talk about Joe Flacco coming to Denver? Like, what if he says that? And that's kind of what he's doing right there. Like, he's not going in detail about it, so...
Well, what you just said is very different from what he said. Because you got to imagine him saying this into a microphone, which is what social media is. You're communicating your thoughts to people. So if I'm in front of this microphone and I'm John, ask me about my offseason.
John, how's the offseason going for you and the Denver Broncos this year? Had a good draft last year. You finally rebounded from previous drafts, and your quarterback situation looks like it might be changing. What's going on this offseason for you?
Well, I'm feeling great about the new coaching staff and the Flacco signing. That's a broken rule.
Broke the rules.
That's a broken rule.
Okay.
All good. The post will be taken down, I'm sure. Whether it's taken down in the next 6 minutes, we'll see. It's clear that Darian Stewart is no longer a Bronco. And it's like officially official. You know, remember last offseason when, you know, Aqib Talib was no longer going to be here, and it was like, hey, does the no-fly zone still exist? And that whole conversation, and Chris Harris saying, yeah, it still exists. You know, it still exists. This is now officially, if it wasn't before, which it was, but... If it wasn't officially official, now it's officially official. No fly zone.
Yeah,
is a thing of the past.
Yeah, it was gone before this year for sure. But yeah, now you got another member gone, and then Bradley Roby's probably walking out of the door too. So just Chris Harris is left. And you know what? That's the way it should be. It's time to turn the page and move on, and we got to find other pieces to step in, and let's try to do it again. Let's try to come up with some other cool nickname to, you know, have with a great defense. I mean, that's the goal now.
How about we play well, then earn the nickname?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we do it in that order?
Yes, I think that's what you have to do.
Okay.
You have to do it that way. You can't get a cool nickname if you're not playing good football.
Right.
So you got to go out there and play good football, and then, yeah, then you get the cool nicknames.
That's the order of operations there. No fly zone is one of the most special and unique eras of defensive football. It's one of the greatest secondaries of all time. It'll always be remembered. And I've always said, I believe the no fly zone as a group should go up in the ring.
The whole group should go up.
Yep, it's just implied that if you know, you know. I don't need like individual Chris Harris keep to like, it was the best. It was one of the best secondaries of all time. No fly zone. If you know, you know. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I got to do some thinking on that.
Okay. If you want to put Chris Harris up separate from that too.
Right. I have to see stats. I need to see the stats. And I know they were great, and I know it was a legendary defense. You won a Super Bowl, but to go up as a full group in the Ring of Fame, I need to see stats.
Okay.
You won one Super Bowl. Great defense. That's it for me. I have no problem putting them all up there, but... I don't know.
It's a team issue thing. It's not a league thing. You know, if you feel they deserve it, come back to me later in the show. Heard a fascinating...
Could John just say my Facebook was hacked? A guy that hacked Zach Bias hacked mine?
if the guy that hacked mine hacked John's, it would be in Arabic, the way that my whole Facebook is.
What could he say?
This is
hacked?
In English. He could, I guess. I don't know why you'd want to say that. All right.
So you don't get in trouble. That's why.
I heard a fascinating topic get brought up yesterday on the drive. The NFL is going to change again, Stoke, but this time for the better. And not one person will disagree. Details next.